Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and his left-wing friends now apparently have just what they wanted in Nicaragua. The result is tragic. We'll face off after this. Well, Ted, Nicaragua has now invaded Honduras, using its Soviet-supplied aircraft and helicopters to wipe out the Democratic Resistance Forces. You helped to defeat Contra Aid. You chose to support the Sandinistas over democracy. Since the defeat of Contra Aid, all negotiating incentive for the Ortega brothers, Daffy Danny and Brother Number One, the defense minister, has evaporated. Every single Central American leader has condemned the invasion. They're scared to death. You and your left-wing chums continue to take up sides with Ortega. Liberals in Congress made a tragic mistake in rejecting support for the freedom fighters. A terrible price will now be exacted by all of Central America and these United States. A heavy burden to bear, Ted.
Al, I hold no brief for the Sandinistas, and I've condemned the incursion of Nicaraguan troops into Honduras. But President Reagan's decision to send U.S. troops had more to do with the administration's attempt to revive its failed policy of Contra Aid in Congress than it did with a border skirmish in Honduras. Scores of incursions have taken place in recent years, Al, but suddenly, as Contra Aid is going down the tubes in Congress, the administration seizes on this incursion to escalate the U.S. role. It reminds me of Claude Rains' famous line in Casablanca, Al. He was shocked, to find gambling in Rick's Cafe, just as President Reagan says he's shocked to find an incursion in Honduras. The Constitution gives Congress, not the President, the power to declare war, Al. Before President Reagan yields to a reckless impulse to take us into war with Nicaragua, Congress ought to stop him. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on raising the minimum wage. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Al Simpson makes raising the minimum wage tougher than raising the Titanic. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, you right-wingers are at it again, throwing cross-body blocks at the number one priority of 1988 for low-income workers, raising the minimum wage. A House committee has just rejected your reactionary arguments and hiked the minimum wage in four installments from $3.35 an hour to $5.05 an hour in 1992. You trickle-down con artists hate to help low-income workers directly, Al. You'd rather give tax breaks to the idle rich instead of decent pay to the working poor. The last increase in the minimum wage was 7 years ago, Al, before President Reagan took office. Since then, the minimum wage has lost 27% of its purchasing power to inflation. Every impartial study shows that raising it has no significant cost in jobs. 5 million low-income workers deserve a raise, Al, but all Marie Antoinette Simpson says is let them eat cake.
I've been called a lot of things in life, but never Marie Antoinette. But I've envied her. She had a full head of hair while she had a head. But you're dead wrong again, Ted, and you're peddling the poor some more pie in the sky. Raising the minimum wage will only cost jobs and raise prices. The minimum wage hasn't been raised since 1981, and what's happened? The percentage of Americans living below the poverty level has decreased. Your liberal push on wages would actually increase the poverty rolls by 5 million persons. Your proposal would force the cost of all goods to skyrocket. And who pays the biggest percentage for goods and groceries? The poor. That populist prattle won't work in these times. Huey Long is long gone, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on an important peace plan for the Middle East. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The situation in Israeli-occupied territories cries out for a solution. Will Ted Kennedy work with the administration to end the violence? We'll face off after this. Ted, Israeli Prime Minister Shamir has just visited with President Reagan and key congressional leaders. He comes up short in supporting an important plan for peace. Secretary Shultz has offered a precise plan to bring about direct negotiations among all the parties in the Middle East. Our nation calls for Israel to withdraw from some of the occupied territories. It's been tagged as the Land for Peace component, and it's a most important one. The rich frustration and deep despair of the Arabs living in Israeli-occupied territories has only led to increasing violence. Israel does have very honest and legitimate security interests there, but it cannot be stubborn and inflexible when it comes to finding a peaceful solution. And you have to help too, Ted.
Al, you and I were co-signers of that 30-senator letter to Secretary Shultz the other day, supporting his far-reaching peace plan for the Middle East. We criticized the PLO and Arab nations for their intransigence, and we urged Prime Minister Shamir of Israel to be flexible in considering the possibility of achieving a permanent settlement of the conflict by exchanging land for peace. One thing land for peace does not mean, Al, is peace at any price. An essential ingredient of the U.S. plan is that no compromise will be acceptable unless it guarantees secure and defensible borders for Israel. Israel is not a threat to peace in the Middle East. The PLO and Arab nations are. It is long past time for those countries, all of them, to renounce their support for terrorism and make their peace with Israel. The Shultz plan is a realistic way forward, Al, for anyone seeking genuine peace. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Satellites for Star Schools. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. I have a new idea for Senator Al Simpson. Star Schools, not Star Wars. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, you claim to be a fiscal conservative, but when Star Wars is the issue, fiscal conservatism goes out the window. If you're willing to spend huge amounts on Star Wars, why not spend a little to use satellite technology in a better way for education? I call the idea Star Schools. It links universities with public schools by satellite so that the best teachers can be beamed into classrooms where instruction is inadequate. Even a one-room schoolhouse with a satellite dish can open up whole new worlds for pupils, especially in math and science, where America lags behind other nations. You and I grew up when reading, writing, and arithmetic were taught to the tune of the hickory stick, Al, but satellites are the tune in the 1980s in contemporary education. We differ on Star Wars, Al, but can't we agree on Star Schools?
Ted, now relax. We do agree on Star Schools. I voted in favor of that measure when it was before the Senate. We authorized $100 million over a five-year period. I'm aboard. In this age of high tech, satellites hold truly unlimited possibilities when it comes to education. That's particularly so in rural areas and in districts with limited resources. But again, Ted, you always leave the private sector out of the mix. Some private groups already provide just the type of education envisioned by this bill. And really now, how does the purchase of highly expensive telecommunications equipment legitimately fit into the category of aiding the needy? Feeding, sheltering, and clothing the poor is vital and important. Ensuring the national defense is critical. So is it then sense to spend a bundle of federal bucks on high-tech telecommunications equipment when the private sector is already ahead of the feds? Not now. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I like to bash each other around a bit on this show. But we worked closely together in the Senate to pass an important immigration bill. We'll face off after this. Well, Ted, we don't always see eye to eye, but we have enjoyed working well together on legislation. We just teamed up to pass a bill which reforms legal immigration in our country in a way that best serves the national interest. Keeping families together continues to be a high priority in our immigration law, Ted. But there are so many other persons with special skills or abilities who wish to immigrate to the United States, even though they don't have a family connection. Our current law makes it almost impossible for these persons to come here, Ted, so we set aside 150,000 visas a year just for that purpose. We were on the same page on this one, Ted. Let's work together now to persuade our colleagues in the House to take swift action. It is indeed in our national interest.
Al, sometimes when we face off, we do see eye to eye. You saw the light on that immigration reform, and I hope the House of Representatives will see it too. The immigration problem we work together on is two decades overdue for a solution. When Congress rewrote the immigration laws in 1965, we opened the gates to millions of people from nations that had been shut out before, but we inadvertently shut the gates on Ireland, Italy, and other countries, discriminating against nations that have contributed so much over the past two centuries to America's immigrant heritage. Now we found a way to end that discrimination by offering a new category of visas for people in such countries without penalizing nations that enjoy the advantages of current law. It's a real breakthrough for fairness in immigration, Al. Once this measure is in place, we can finally take down the sign on the Statue of Liberty that says, "No Irish need apply." This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The strong bipartisan vote in Congress to override President Reagan's civil rights veto was a welcome victory against discrimination for millions of Americans. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, for the first time in 121 years, Congress has overridden a civil rights veto by a president. Of course, it's also the first time in 121 years that a president has vetoed a civil rights bill. Your right-wing friends mounted a massive last-minute smokescreen of distortion and innuendo against the bill, Al, but to no avail. Congress saw the light and overwhelmingly accepted the fundamental principle that federal tax dollars must not be used to support discrimination in any form. One of the reasons America is America is our steady progress on civil rights. You and the Reagan administration seem to think we've come too far, Al. The right wing tried to roll back the clock, but by overriding the veto, Congress cleaned their clock instead.
Oh, come on now, Ted. No one tried to roll back the clock. The works fell out. We did try to stop a lumbering freight from rolling right over the top of a very anxious and concerned American public. Federal funds should never be used to subsidize discrimination. The president proposed thoughtful changes in this legislation that would have improved the measure. I thought we should consider those changes. There was indeed some unfortunate misinformation out there, Ted. Congress should have done a better job of letting the American people know what we were up to. Nothing in this bill granted any kind of new rights to homosexuals, drug addicts, or AIDS victims. Some people out there didn't understand that. Here you are gloating again about defeating Ronald Reagan instead of really explaining that bill. Is that any way to legislate? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a tremendous burden he places on America's employers. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy is up to those old tricks and circus acts that make the left wing infamous. We'll face off about yet another attack on America's small business community after this. Ted, you've dressed up another wolf in sheep's clothing, except this is a turkey in sheep's clothing, an even more grotesque bird. I refer to the High-Risk Occupational Disease Notification and Prevention Act, a typical liberal bill, great title, no substance. But this wolf has teeth that would literally shred up small businesses, the family farm, and other employers. The bill would require the federal government to notify all workers who have ever been exposed to hazardous substances that they might, just might, be at the risk of developing certain diseases. Uncle Sam would have to go back 30 years to do that. That's absurd. If you love litigation, you will love this bill. Your liberal pals misread the public on this one, Ted.
Al, you've got your animals mixed up. It's business that's crying wolf. Their attitude towards danger in the workplace is, let the worker beware, and that's unacceptable. Workers have a right to know. Whenever hazardous chemicals and other dangers at the job site expose them to risk of serious illness. We've required warning labels on cigarettes for years. What's wrong with requiring similar warnings in the workplace when employees are exposed to dangerous substances that cause cancer or other diseases, especially when the illness may lie in wait for 10 or 20 years? Our proposal requires workers in high-risk situations to receive notice about the danger and an opportunity to get help. Most responsible corporations already notify workers of these risks, Al. It's irresponsible of you to defend the irresponsible few that don't. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on pardons for the Irangate defendants. It's a bad idea. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The White House is buzzing again with rumors of presidential pardons for the Irangate defendants. Will Senator Al Simpson ask President Reagan to do the right thing or the far right thing? In a moment, we'll find out on Face Off. Al, the fat's in the fire after all the recent developments in the Irangate scandal. Former National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane pleaded guilty and agreed to cooperate with the special prosecutor. Major indictments have been handed down against Oliver North, John Poindexter, General Secord, and others, charging them with criminal offenses for their role. D.C. law is rivaling L.A. law, Al, and the Reagan administration is paying the consequences for winking at corruption, sleaze, and malfeasance in high office. The right wing is desperately trying to short-circuit the scandal and reduce the embarrassment by urging President Reagan to pardon the defendants. Join me in urging the president to reject these misguided pleas for pardons, Al. No one's above the law.
No one is above the law, Ted. But it sounds to me that you've forgotten everything you learned in law school. It also sounds like you want to try Oliver North and John Poindexter in a court of public opinion instead of a court of law. A pardon is truly unnecessary for someone who has not been convicted of any crime. Even you know that an indictment is just an allegation. Remember that silly old rule in this country that a person is innocent until proven guilty? Sleaze factor. Of all the ethics cases pending in the House of Representatives, most of them are against Democrats, and they all just seem to slip down the black hole. So let those charged have their day in court, Ted. You seem to assume North will be convicted. But you won't serve on the jury, Ted. Let's not talk of pardons unless there is something to pardon. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a group that frightens America's senior citizens. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Many of our senior citizens are being victimized by a campaign of fear. But whose side is Ted Kennedy on? We'll face off after this. Ted, there are many fine organizations that track the various issues of concern to the elderly and our senior citizens. But one, the National Committee to Preserve Social Security, is really off the wall. This high-powered organization cranks out bales of half-hysterical stuff under a very official-looking seal. The National Committee circulates some plainly deceptive and misleading information about the Social Security and Medicare programs. They fill up their vast war chests with the donations of fearful seniors. In 1 year alone, they did 28 mailings. 22 of them solicited money. How about you and some of your left-wing pals helping me investigate them? This group deserves to be condemned, Ted. Will you join me?
There you go again, Al, blaming the messenger for bringing the bad news. The real threat to the elderly these past 8 years has been the Reagan administration and Republicans in Congress. You just can't seem to keep your budget-cutting hands off Social Security and Medicare. Reaganomics is dangerous to the health and welfare of senior citizens, Al. You had to pay for all those tax cuts for the wealthy and runaway military spending. You tried to balance the budget on the backs of millions of senior citizens on fixed incomes. You tried to cut Social Security and take away the annual cost of living increase in Social Security benefits. And you also tried to slash Medicare to the tune of billions of dollars a year. No wonder concerned senior citizens banded together in organizations like the committee you described, Al. Republicans have a near-resistible urge to cut Social Security, and you have no one but yourselves to blame when people get upset. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Legislation on trade is in the home stretch, but all we hear from the Reagan administration is veto talk. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Congress and the President are heading for a collision that doesn't have to happen on foreign trade. We're about to pass a long overdue bill to restore America's competitive position in the world and get tough on foreign nations that slam their doors on U.S. products. We'd also help workers about to lose their jobs by requiring companies to give notice before major plants are closed. And we'd find out who owns America by requiring foreign enterprises to reveal their investments in the United States. Those are worthwhile provisions, Al, and they have one thing in common. President Reagan says he'll veto the whole trade bill if it contains any one of them, let alone all three. What gives, Al? Those are effective ways to reduce the deficit on trade and help American workers. Talk sense to the president, Al. He doesn't need another veto override.
Ted, I have always been concerned by the high deficit figures, but they are not an excuse for some terrible special interest protectionism. President Reagan is absolutely right to be concerned about these killer amendments. Your favorite, plant closing proposal, would only throw some already shaky companies into bankruptcy. It would expose most businesses to costly litigation and would only discourage expansion. And when it comes to foreign investments, Ted, that's a reflection of the faith foreigners place in our economy. Foreign investment here means jobs, Ted, jobs to us. More trade is better than less trade. It's in everyone's economic interest. Foreign barriers are the big part of our problem. We've got to tear those down, Ted, not erect our own. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to get tough when it comes to religious violence. We'll face off tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I both condemn acts of violence against churches and synagogues. An important bill is working its way through Congress. We'll face off after this. Many Americans observed Easter services last Sunday, a time of personal reflection for most persons. We live in a democracy that protects the rights of religious freedom. The Senate Judiciary Committee has just passed a bill that would penalize those hateful and twisted persons who damage religious property. We've all seen the sad reports, a swastika painted on the walls of a synagogue, black churches across the country that have been victimized. That's why the Judiciary Committee bill is so important. We would impose tough prison terms for those involved in this kind of hateful violence. Religious violence is a threat to the practice of all religious freedom, Ted. Our federal authorities should have all of the tools necessary to investigate and prosecute persons who commit such hideous crimes.
Right on, Al. Ordinarily, Congress doesn't federalize local crimes like vandalism because a basic principle of the federal system is that local law enforcement is the responsibility of state and local governments. But there are important exceptions to that rule whenever vital national interests are involved. Attacks on churches, synagogues are reprehensible. They're frontal assaults on the Constitution and the principles of religious freedom and religious tolerance that America stands for. Attacks like that ought to be federal crimes. It's not just church property that's covered, Al. Murder and other assaults would also become federal crimes if the attack was motivated by religious prejudice. Earlier this year, the National Council of Churches cited hundreds of murders, assaults, and cross burnings across the country in recent years. It's time for Congress to act, Al. Let's throw the book at the bigots. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on who should pay for accidents at nuclear power plants. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson went into the tank for the nuclear power industry. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, you've always been a cheerleader for the nuclear power lobby, but no one cheered when you dove into their tank the other day. You voted not to make government contractors liable for accidents at nuclear plants, even if they're caused by gross negligence or intentional misconduct. But your position here is indefensible. No government agency, even the Department of Defense, lets contractors off scot-free when misconduct causes accidents. The nuclear lobbyists shed some crocodile tears, laid some campaign contributions on Congress, and threatened to quit operating government plants if they didn't get their way. Those aging nuclear plants are accidents waiting to happen, Al. Why should taxpayers cough up billions of dollars to pay for misconduct by an irresponsible contractor that causes a Three Mile Island, let alone a Chernobyl, in one of the communities? The biggest nuclear safety vote in years, Al, and you went in the tank.
Well, Ted, as usual, when it comes to nuclear power, you're the one who always glows with emotion. The bill that you referred to, the Price-Anderson Act, was passed without one dissenting voice in the Senate. This bill would increase the funds available to compensate victims of a nuclear accident from the current level of $500 million to nearly $8 billion. What other industry in America, Ted, can ensure that any victims of their errors will be compensated swiftly and efficiently for up to $8 billion of injuries? Remember Bhopal in India? Nobody's received a nickel yet. You like that? The only winners under your approach, Ted, would be the plaintiffs' lawyers and not the victims. We've seen it in the asbestos litigation. We've seen it at Bhopal, and we just wind up with the same thing under your approach. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy is dodging the acid rain debate. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy has teamed up with the naysayers to keep acid rain legislation off the Senate agenda. We'll face off after this. Ted, your support for acid rain legislation must be about like Wyoming's Powder River, a mile wide and an inch deep, too thin to plow and too thick to eat. You had a good chance to set up a time certain for the acid rain debate in the Senate, but you voted to dodge that issue. You have chosen to support one of the acid rain bills that doesn't have any chance at all of becoming law, Ted. That must be why you don't want the Senate to debate it. The Proxmire-Simpson acid rain bill would reduce sulfur emissions and control nitrogen oxides. Electric consumers would find themselves reeling from the cost of your bill, Ted, but you and your fellow Eastern armchair super-environmentalists don't want any compromise. So no bill for 8 years. You can't hide behind the record on that one, Ted. You blew it.
Al, you're confusing your miles and inches. Your acid rain bill moves the problem an inch when we need to go a mile. The special interests in the pollution industry know you can't beat something with nothing. The comprehensive acid rain bill I favor is a threat to their polluting habits. So they snookered decent old Al Simpson into accepting a sham that pretends to address the problem but does nothing of the kind. The issue is the arrogance of the pollution industry. Their tall smokestacks are belching dangerous oxides into the atmosphere, and those chemicals are creating the acid rain that's killing lakes, streams, and forests across the country. Congress doesn't have the guts to tackle the big boys and their tall stacks, Al. If they won't clean up their act, we ought to shut their smokestacks down. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Al. I'd like to work with you on acid rain, but only if you're ready to get serious. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the U.S. Navy budget. Anchors away, Al. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Pentagon wants a 600-ship Navy, even if it can't afford to pay for it. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Pentagon has a problem that experts call the Hollow Navy. The Reagan administration set a goal of 600 ships, but the budget is no longer big enough to pay for their full deployment. Count Weinberger is long gone, Al, and so is his wish list. We'll have a leaner, stronger Navy if we build fewer ships and spend more supporting the fleet we have. One way to close the gap is to keep the number of aircraft carriers at 14 for the next few years, instead of expanding to 15, as the Pentagon wants. We could save up to $5 billion from that step alone, Al, and use the dough to reduce the shortfall in support for the carriers we have. We'd still have two more aircraft carriers than when President Reagan came to office. Less is better, Al. One less carrier means a leaner, stronger Navy.
You seem always willing to chop up our national defense, Ted. And now you're proposing more cuts to the bone. It takes three aircraft carriers over the years of the mission to keep just one carrier deployed. 15 deployable carriers are the very minimum needed to satisfy our peacetime requirements. Prior to 1970, we never had fewer than 23 carriers. But since then, we've dropped down to 13 carriers. In 1980, Ted, the USS Eisenhower was at sea for 247 days. If you started that today and went till Election Day, you would work 7 days a week, 12 to 16 hours a day, get no overtime pay, and have a lot fewer conveniences and privacy than most all civilians expect. Our carrier battle group maintains a very important presence in the world's hotspots, Ted. Don't level your left-wing hatchet in their direction. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a misguided plot to build a new congressional office building. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted and others of those old free-spending Democrats just can't keep their pinkies out of the federal till. Will Ted Kennedy work to stop construction on yet another wasteful congressional office building? Oh boy, Ted, some of your guys in Congress never learn. A new office building for the staff of the Supreme Court has been proposed. Now that one might sell, Ted, because we propose to construct the new building on federal land. It would be two-thirds filled by judicial officials. The other third would then be rented by private businesses. The rents generated by the private sector would then serve to defray the costs of the new building to the federal government. But one of your big spending colleagues has now decided that congressional staff should use that other one-third. That's all we need around here, more staff. We're up to our hocks in staff now. That shifts the entire cost of the construction right onto the backs of the taxpayers.
Al, congressional office buildings aren't exactly wide open spaces. Staff overcrowding is atrocious. You'd see it, Al, if you'd step out of your palatial office and look at how your own staff is living or surviving. A health inspector would probably close the whole place down. And you know who'd be moving into the prime space on Capitol Hill if we left it to the private sector? The lobbyists, that's who. They'd have a field day. They'd outbid everybody else for every square inch of space, because each dollar they invest in special interest lobbying will be repaid a hundredfold in special interest legislation. You can't save money that way, Al. It'll end up costing taxpayers even more. Senators may not earn their pay, Al, but by and large, staff do. Most of them could double or triple their salaries in the private sector, but they'd rather serve the public interest, and it's downright unfriendly of you to begrudge them decent office space. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson talks right about the environment, but he votes far right. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, one of the country's most respected environmental organizations, the League of Conservation Voters, has taken a close look at congressional voting records. You scored only 25 out of a possible 100, Al. That's a flunking grade. I scored 78. Not sensational, but a lot better than you bottom-dwelling slugs. You voted against tough enforcement of the clean water laws and for a bailout of polluters. You voted against controls on pesticide residues and food and against compensation for victims of toxic waste. You even voted against tougher automobile pollution standards and against efforts to deal with radon in houses, asbestos in schools, and pollution in rural drinking water. It's a good thing Congress rejected your position on many of those issues, Al. With your miserable anti-environment voting record, instead of America the Beautiful, we'd have America the Polluted.
Bottom-dwelling slug now, eh? Well, Ted, while you vote in the extreme, I've been voting in the mainstream on environmental issues. The record you cite is a bogus saliva test on the environment. A few arcane amendment votes are toted up that ignore the final results, votes that failed by margins of 45 votes or more. Clean water. Lord, I worked like a dog on the conference committee to hammer out a compromise, and that's the bill that became law. Safe drinking water? I'm the guy who worked to get the debate going in the Senate. I was the original co-sponsor of Superfund. Radon and asbestos in schools? I voted for those bills, too, and they became law. I'll always flunk every test administered by the extremists, but when the important work really needs to get done, I'll be right there in the thick of it. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on special interest education funding. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Now we have some high-powered academics playing politics when it comes to funding research projects in our nation's colleges and universities. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, you and your left-wing chums are always offering expensive proposals to better our country's educational system. It ain't too bad now. We are spending billions of dollars on it. But the special earmarking of federal monies to specific colleges and universities must be stopped. This practice is a travesty, Ted. This year's budget contains $225 million in these special projects. Well-placed members of Congress are the culprits. These projects don't even have to compete on any scientific basis for funds. Other academically superior efforts simply go without. Will you act to halt the practice, Ted? Or do you get a P for pork, too, or a D for doing nothing?
Al, once again, Simple Simpson has oversimplified a serious problem. The problem is the flawed procedures for reviewing federal research grants. The system is biased in favor of elite institutions. In 1986, the 20 most prestigious universities monopolized 40% of the federal research dollars. That isn't fair, Al. Yet the fancy institutions living high on the hog are always the first to cry pork when Congress goes outside the elitist system and supports facilities at other deserving colleges and universities. No one wants pork barrel science, Al, but we don't want the present distorted allocation of scarce research dollars either. Investment in research facilities is an indispensable part of economic growth in every region of the country, Al. It's time you supported a fairer and balanced distribution of federal funds.
This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Line Item Veto. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.